The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Welcome to it. Weekend edition is here. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, and Colton Stone. Great to be with you. One of them weeks, right? So we'll hit the rewind coming up here in 20 minutes or so and check in our conversation with Super Bowl champ. That sounds awesome. Rex Burkhead, our conversation with myself, Jeremiah Searles, and Sexy Rexy. That at 7:30, Brandon Vogel in 1 hour. The Iron Horse and Sportscaster of the Year is Gary Sharp, who had an amazing call with Mr. Hahn's winner at Baxter with UNO knocking out South Dakota State. And it was a shot heard around the state of Nebraska. That was cool. A lot of hoops to get into. Big one tonight for Nebraska basketball as they try and put a streak together. Streak being the operative. I'm going to bring Colton Stone in here. Colton Stone, you made a declaration. You were confident, my friend, that the Scarlet Knights of Rutgers would not exceed 3 conference wins.
That's correct.
And for whatever reason, you dove into the naked mile pool of things. And I want to just get a quick update for our friends on the weekend edition, because we all do crazy things on the weekend at one time or another in our life. Maybe reenacting Will Ferrell in old school. That may be a reality for you. I need you to set this up before we get into the week that was with Maurice Washington, the week that was with Coach Dawson heading off to the New York Giants, where Nebraska basketball is actually at. When it comes to bubble watch, you have those national pundits that love them some Tim Miles. So, hey, Nebraska's in. They're back in. New. I don't know if that's the case, but there's opportunity. But back to you, Colton Stone. And what prompted you to say, yeah, if Rutgers wins more than 3 conference games, I am running naked on O Street?
Okay, so first I want to say this isn't the first time I made that bet.
Okay.
and none of them, I should say all of them, I was sober, including this one.
Okay.
And this was
that's the first mistake.
That was. But this was like before the season even started. So
you're looking at teams saying, I feel good about my Huskers. You're puffing your chest out.
Right.
As Nebraska is a projected top 5 Big Ten team. And you're like, who can we pile on? Usually it's the flip run. Usually Nebraska is in the cellar.
Right.
Let's make fun of Rutgers. Let me make an edict. Say, Rutgers.
Right. So during March Madness, I had made this bet about if Kansas lost to South Dakota State in the first round. Well, then you have Virginia lose. So luckily, I didn't bet that on Virginia. But
right.
I was like, you know, Rutgers isn't very good at basketball. Not in the Big Ten, at least.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I'll take my chances.
I hope you have good speed, by the way.
Because
if you're
going to
be running naked on O Street, I want that to be
not modest.
I want that to be a very short experience for anybody that happens to be on O Street.
Are we talking 14th to 17th? I mean, the stretch. We get our buddy Scott at Duffy's to.
Well, you left yourself
give you some hydration, is what I'm saying. A little Seinfeld reenactment where you're grabbing instead of for water, maybe it's something else. And I hope it's not steaming like the Seinfeld episode where Jean-Paul poured coffee instead of water on his head.
I did give myself a little bit of like a buffer because it doesn't say like, oh, I have to run from 25th to first on O or anything.
You could
like
go
that out
to the equivalent of like 96 in the middle of nowhere.
I mean, do you start like Watering Hole and end at Harry's Wonder Bar? Because that'd be a stretch, right?
I don't know if they'd let you in.
No, that'd be 14th to about 17th and a half.
And what if somebody took a picture of it and then later sent it?
Wow.
Hold on.
Wow. Wow.
See what I did there?
Wow.
See what I did there? What if that happened? Would you press charges?
Well, see, here's the thing, too. I've gone into this. I
Jesus.
I think I
7-Eleven off the top rope. Kranak, you look intense. You look Unabomber-ish this morning. How are you?
Thanks. Unabomber-ish.
The beard.
Oh, I got a beard. Okay. Well, it's also Santa Claus-ish and also hipster-ish and also...
Right, I went Unabomber.
Wise-ish. You just go straight with mass murderer with bombs. Uh-huh. Thanks.
Harvard prodigy.
Yeah, thanks for that. Don't appreciate that.
So are you going to be able to back out of this? Because they're at 5 wins already, man.
Yeah, I know. When I talked to Danny on Monday, I was like, you know what the worst part is? They might get 4 wins and then just stay there. Luckily, no, they got a 5th win, but...
Yeah, they're playing...
Maybe.
Okay ball, them in Illinois, but I just needed a quick update on how you're going to worm your way out of this.
Worm. Nice choice. What is going on?
I have not found a good way to get out of it yet. So
we'll put our heads together. All right.
Oh, another one.
Jeez.
The innuendo is just terrible this morning.
Unplanned. Can join us this morning. 466-3776. 800-825-5865. Find us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio.
Worm heads together on
at Mark Skurs. At 2 Birds, 1 Stone for Colton Stone.
2 Birds, 1 Stone.
Wow. Okay. Kranak, where do you want to start?
There's this week.
Yeah, this week. And not on the top of the radar has been Nebraska basketball. Right.
I mean, it hasn't been.
Because you've had
first,
you know, Monday, Coach Dawson takes the job with the New York Giants.
Yep.
Monday, charges come down.
Yep.
You first learn about Maurice Washington, California, and the Santa Clara attorney general's, right? Santa Clara Attorney General's office.
Something like that. Yep.
It's Santa Clara that's in the Bay Law Area. Enforcement.
It's in the Bay Area if you're not familiar. Between San Francisco, San Jose
right.
area. That's, you know, where Levi's Stadium is there. That's where the 49ers play, just so people
can old Foster Farms Bowl.
So you're talking about probably the most liberal area of the country.
Sure.
Not that I think that's a factor, and that's not to denigrate
you're just that stating area. Fact.
That's a very liberal area. And legally, it's a place that sort of ahead of the curve in some ways. I mean, and like as an example, that was the first general area to ban smoking inside of restaurants.
In the world.
Right? In the United States, anyways. It was a huge, you know, and people were like, whoa, it's so ridiculous. And then, obviously, the rest of the country follows suit after the last decade or so. But very liberal. And what it appears here, this isn't to defend Washington, obviously. What he did's dumb, no matter what the context is, of course.
He's accused of sending video.
He's accused of sending video that he's not in to his ex-girlfriend. And if we're not mistaken, it was in March of 18 when he did so. So he was still in high school when it happened. And he's doing so to one of his peers, presumably. It seems like you have a pretty overzealous and aggressive prosecutor out in Santa Clara. So you have the defendant who has hired an attorney, and they're out for somebody, right? Something's not good. And to bring in the child porn thing, while technically that probably is a violation of that law, it's not in the spirit of the law, right? If it is, then you probably have millions of criminal high school kids walking around this country right now, right? So
they have a gross video their phone, and it's distribution.
I'm not a lawyer, obviously, but to me, that one doesn't seem like it's going to hold up. The revenge thing, different story. Cause, I mean, that seems like a case in point of what it is, right? It's some sort of revenge. It wasn't sent as a, oh, hey, I found this, just thought you want to keep it for your records. It was with malintent, right? So it wasn't a great idea there. But I think even bigger than that, and who knows, and if that was an actual assault, how terrible is that? You know,
sure,
whatever, there's all that stuff that we have no idea about. But end of the day, this is it seems like there's some overzealous stuff going on to hold somebody accountable for this, right?
You have the two
Maurice
men
included
that are in the assault video that filmed it. You have charges being considered to be brought forth on them for sexual assault.
That'll come.
You have Maurice Washington, his correspondence per the probable cause affidavit with this former girlfriend. And you have the arrest warrant signed Thursday. You have self-surrender that's going to happen. At some point, Maurice Washington's going to California to face questioning, perhaps charges.
With an Aiken in his heart.
And then you have Nebraska's statement Monday. Like, bro, we knew nothing.
Yeah, this whole
about this on Monday. Yeah. And as of later Wednesday and into Thursday, you have a timeline of events from the university as to when they got a heads up, what they knew, and the first they ever knew or heard of the nature of the charges and incident. Is February 8th of 2019 when they got a phone call from that reporter in the Bay Area for NBC. That's the first they knew about it. You have John Bruning that's been represent Maurice Washington. There's two reports, one in Nebraska, the Attorney General's office, one in California, Santa Clara, their law enforcement office. That say that John Bruning was representing the university. He called on the university's behalf. John Bruning has said, no, that's not the case at all.
That's important, by the way.
Never said I represented the University of Nebraska. That has changed. And when it comes to who knew what when about this incident with Maurice Washington, where's Nebraska at? What's it look like? And Coach Frost didn't know per John Bruning, because the conversation and incident and nature of the inquiry was kept between Bruning and Washington, attorney-client privilege. That's
the
university's stance right now as of Wednesday, Thursday.
Look, now the part that's most believable out of all of that is that the details were not widely known until early February. And I say that...
Or shared.
Right. And I say that's believable because... To get those details, you would have to have somebody on the prosecution furnish those details, first of all. Or you'd have to have Maurice Washington just say, I did this a year ago. You'd have to have one of those. That's the only way you're going to find out.
And Washington's response to Bruning, what's going on here? I'm flabbergasted by these insinuations.
Well, and there are, look, there are things there, too. I don't know what Maurice Washington's income situation is like, but when you're talking about criminal defense in the state of Nebraska, you can look up the averages. You know, in 2015, those averages were $1.75 to $2.50. That's what you're spending per hour for defense attorney.
Here's the other part of that. You have the option, and it's not unique to student athletes, of attorneys a lot of times doing pro bono work. So that,
but then you start to tread into NCAA extra benefit stuff, which is what was cited in Bruning's response late. I think it was yesterday, where I just want to make it clear that he retained an attorney and he would have to pay for this attorney so that there were no violations.
That was Frost's communication to Washington and Bruning.
Yeah. So either way, look, tons of he said, she said stuff. Aggressive yet sort of flimsy prosecution happening, it seems like. He'll probably have something will happen, but I don't think it's going to be the full extent.
How do you resolve the case is the question. That's the question moving forward.
Well,
what do you do if you're Scott Frost and there are charges, if there's a plea deal?
Look, here's what reeks, though. What reeks, for the second time in what, a month? Second time in a month, the university has experienced embarrassing situations.
First with the Moose rumors.
The Moose rumors, one, which went all the way up to the chancellor's office and required a chancellor public response. Super embarrassing. Not okay. What the hell was that? Right? Now you're in a situation where you got this, where it appears, and things will transpire, right? Like, a lot of stuff will come out over the coming months and whatever, but it appears right now that the university doesn't have their stuff together, right? And that there are questions about who knew what when and who was retained and blah, blah, blah. And you notice Bruning's no longer representing Washington. What's
right.
up with that? So it just it doesn't smell right, right? And so there, those are two situations within a month that have been pretty embarrassing. And in
who's
fact,
driving the bus?
And in fact, I'm pretty surprised that it's not a bigger story. It is locally, but you're not seeing a lot of this nationally, even though the headline kind of writes itself.
And the headline is, I mean, what Maurice is accused of is awful. It's brutal. And I know it's a new law, but it's still got felony involved in it. Okay, if things went down verbatim yeah. with what this girl says, then it's horrible. It's
totally.
It's just brutal. But I mean, you have a situation where Nebraska doesn't look like they know what's going on.
Twice
in a month.
Yeah,
it's been a drama filled February.
And this may sound like on its surface, and I'm saying, oh, what's up with Bill Moose? He's not leading the organization right. But that's not necessarily what I'm saying.
No,
what I'm saying is there are. Because is it reasonable to assume that Bill Moose did not know
sure.
of these details of what Maurice did and what
step,
yes, it's step totally
one, step one with this whole timeline and yeah. process is for an investigator in Nebraska to reach out to somebody with the university, right?
Yep.
On behalf of Santa Clara, because Santa Clara had tried to reach out to Maurice Washington. They wanted to get right. in contact with him. And those attempts fell on deaf ears. Going directly to Maurice until Mr. Sexton with the Attorney General's office was able to get in touch, and that's where the communication started between Bruning and Sexton, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But what you don't have here is any like follow-up or closure. And you have Nebraska's statement, look, man, there was nothing really followed up upon, and Maurice Washington played during the fall.
Yeah.
I mean, so those are situations. From a reporting standpoint, you know, who got the information? Did it go through the chain of command? And were Nebraska officials and folks in charge aware of what was going on? And that answer is no. And they were not aware because of attorney-client privilege between Washington and Bruning. But it went to compliance, Vaughn.
Mm-hmm.
And then he told his bosses. And then the football folks got brought in, and then there's Bruning being introduced to Washington.
Either way, just it doesn't look good. It's the it's the second incident within a month that is pretty embarrassing, and that tells you: is there a common denominator between those two things? Is there somebody or something that's amiss? Because it appears that way. It really does. It's just not good. Now, and we can also get into the whole football thing. What is this going to mean for the actual football team? I think right now, considering what we know, you just go ahead and very similar to when DPE was coming back from injury or when Moses Bryant was supposedly coming back from injury. You just don't count on him. I think at this point it is prudent to just not count on Maurice. That it's right. Just if he gets through the legal process and it turns out to be a nothing burger and he ends up playing, great. Gravy, bonus, move on with life. I think at this point, though, you can't count on it. How long is this thing going to get strung out?
You have no idea.
What are the actual charges going to be? Is he going to have actual charges in court of child porn and
have to go to trial
for it?
Well, let's talk about...
Which at that point would be high profile and public and embarrassing to the university and all of that. In another state, it makes playing tenuous, right? So I just think at this point you can't count on it.
Well, and what, you know, worst case scenario, if you're Maurice here, you're charged, even if you plea down. Yeah. What's the likelihood you stay off of the sex offender registry?
Yeah, who knows?
That's the
and
question.
And then Oregon State was dealing with a similar thing in their baseball program.
With Heimlich,
right? I wouldn't say it was a similar thing, but. It had to do with
being
things he did when
registrant.
He was a minor and all that, right? And that was a little bit more grotesque. That was direct. That was not good.
Yeah,
obviously. But he continued to play.
Mm-hmm.
What Maurice is doing here, Maurice wasn't part of an actual assault
right.
himself, right? So it's it's less severe, I guess, overall. And that Heimlich kid was able to play, right? So, I mean, who knows? He might be able to play. But regardless, there's something that's just not right now within the university apparatus that these two things could occur. And it's very – I don't know. It feels disorganized and messy.
Well, you feel
and it doesn't feel like it has to be like that.
You feel blindsided.
Mm-hmm.
In both situations. In both situations, this – what was known, what was on the surface, and then did it close like a freight train and catch everyone by surprise?
It's so that is something to monitor, right? That's just something to kind of keep an eye on. Maybe these will be two incidents. Maybe they're totally isolated. Maybe stuff like that doesn't happen again. But those are two embarrassing situations that don't appear to have been handled right. And it's weird. and it's just kind of like, what is going on there? Why is that happening? How, right? It's confusing. It just doesn't seem right. Something does not smell right about both of them.
Well, and you have Scott Frost in his first kind of major test at Nebraska here. When push comes to shove, when it is time.
Culture is a big deal, right?
Culture is huge.
Doing the right thing, character.
And you'll need to make a decision if your hand is forced on Maurice Washington. Like, just going down the worst-case scenario, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with him? You have the whole Pizzagate thing that was going on with this week.
Small potatoes, but honestly, that would be a big discussion right now.
Yeah.
And what you're talking about is a couple of players, Caleb Tanner and the walk-on.
Arloeth.
Yeah. Who, he's like a good grades kid and like, you know, I think like honor student type. Were they supposed, like, use an app to buy a pizza using somebody else's credit card or something?
Yeah.
I'm talking about, what, a $20 deal from home team, like, or whatever?
It's $10.
Okay. I mean, look, whatever. That's you got to run extra stairs. I mean, you shouldn't do it. Totally small potatoes, though. But you're right. All this stuff kind of happening within a short, condensed period of time.
And meanwhile, Tim Miles was the topic of conversation. His job security, Nebraska's tailspin, that's been pushed back. It's still kind of in the forefront of our minds with, you know, where's Nebraska at as a program right now, and what's this team going to do post-Copeland? Can they put a run together? I mean, you're in the thick of February getting ready for a March run to get to the dance.
Yeah.
And then baseball puts up three touchdowns last night.
Right.
Which was nice.
And you got to replace Mike Dawson. I mean, there's a lot to get into. This is a busy news week.
It was.
And a peculiar one.
I am, you know, Dawson was really good at recruiting, and his kids loved him, and he taught well, and that's a loss. So we'll get into the Dawson situation with Gary Sharp and Brandon Vogel. Can send us an email, mark@hailvarsity.com, chris@hailvarsity.com, and give us a follow on Twitter @Schmidt_radio. At Mark Skurs, at Two Birds, One Stone.
You know what this reminds me of, by the way? Do you remember it was a couple years ago when you would hear Mark Banker say something that totally contradicted what Riley would say, that totally contradicted what another insert coach
here would
say?
You're inferring to being on the same page as a program.
Right. And I'm not saying this is direct to the football program itself. I'm talking about the athletic program. Somewhat to the football program, but a different situation. I think it has more to do with administrative weirdness than it does the actual football staff. But you remember, there was that smoke with Riley and Banker, and it just kind of told you there is a major communication issue happening within the football staff. No question about it. You got Banker basically saying we don't practice hard enough. Riley saying, yes, we do. I mean, it was just weird, and then he got fired later, and you knew there were issues there. And lo and behold, now look what happened. The program fell apart. Riley got fired. Right? There was smoke there. I feel like there is smoke here now administratively. In some way, don't know what it is, but I do find it peculiar that you have these two embarrassing situations that appear to have not been handled right. I think it also
just
appears...
Just being in the loop.
The moose drinking too much thing that feels like an inside job in some ways, right? Mm-hmm. I think Moose even alluded to that himself. So that's weird. It's something to monitor. There is smoke here. Maybe it dies. Maybe you figure out kind of who's behind messing stuff up or whatever, and you give them a stern talking and everything's fine. I don't know, but it's worth watching.
It's Mark Cranack, Chris Schmidt, and Colton Stone. A reminder about Madonna Therapy Plus. They'll help you return to sports or work activities, and students return to school after that concussion. If you or someone you know needs some help with that and hasn't had a full recovery, Madonna Proactive and Madonna Therapy Plus, where to go. Three locations in Lincoln with Therapy Plus, one in West Omaha, and maybe you're getting ready for a marathon. Maybe you're into running, and that's wonderful. Maybe it's kind of a first-time deal for you when it comes to running. The Run Well program, designed to keep runners healthy and performing at their best by getting to the root of the problem. We're talking comprehensive running form evaluation that keeps you healthy with use of video analysis and runners giving individualized performance plans to increase strength, optimize performance, and prevent that injury. Make an appointment today with the experts at Madonna, madonna.org. A quick timeout. How about Rex Burkhead? How about a Super Bowl championship? Our conversation, The Rewind, is next. Myself, Jeremiah Searles, and Mr. Rex Burkhead. The Rewind is on the way with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
With Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Cranack.
Let's start off with a guy that has been incredible at Nebraska and won a Super Bowl with New England. We welcome back to the show, Rex Burkhead joins us. Rex, the last time you, me, and Searles chatted, you were playing frisbee golf. Are you doing that today?
I'm not today, but it's nice enough weather where I am that I actually could, so. Now that you give me the idea, I may have to get out there and do it.
Love that. Rex, it's great to see you and great to hear your voice, man. It's been forever. Where are you at now? What are you doing, man? I know you're a new dad. Congratulations on that. But give us a little rundown of where you're at in life now.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Back down in Plano, Texas for the off season. Just down here seeing some family and friends. And, yeah, just enjoying some time with the little guy. He just turned 3 months old, so... spending more time with them now that the season's over and, just kind of soaking it in for we start the offseason again.
That's awesome, Rex. Well, as we know, you won a Super Bowl with the Patriots this year. Walk us through maybe a little bit what that was like for you as far as from an emotional standpoint, from a physical standpoint. I saw pictures. Your whole family was there, dad rocking the Husker jersey, which was awesome, by the way. But just how was that, man, for a guy that, for me, plays in the NFL and knows that is the absolute optimal performance where you want to be? What was going through your mind when all that was going down?
Yeah, words really can't explain it. It was pretty unbelievable, especially experiencing all with all the family and having the confetti just fly down, hitting above you. It's something you dream about as a little kid, always growing up watching it on TV and then being there, finally experiencing it and, it happening. It's really a dream come true. And, my dad there and with this Husker jersey, got lots of love for that. So it was great. Had him, my mom, my wife on the field, and just enjoy that moment with them was special.
Rex Burkhead's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Super Bowl champ. And what a year you had, Rex. And, you look at New England and you look at the running back room, and versatility is kind of the word that I think of with New England in the backs when you got Sony and James, yourself and Devlin, that are just, so integral, and you can just really hurt teams running the ball, throwing the football, whatever it takes. And when it came time for you to make a move and you ended up in New England and then they extended you, kind of walk us through how it fit. New England's pretty...
it's not built for everyone.
Right. It's a legendary place, but it is, air quote, the Patriot way. You got to be their fit as much as they got to be your fit. And how did that connect between the organization, yourself, when it came time into saying, look, I can go play here?
Yeah, absolutely. It was always a place, schematically wise, I always dreamed about playing in. Just the way they use their backs, in the passing game, the run game, I could always envision myself playing there. And just from hearing from guys who had played in New England before. I mean, of course, they say it's not the easiest, but, you know, once you get it down and everything, you love it. It's a football atmosphere. Guys come and compete and love to work every single day. And, you know, it's tough, but that's what it is. That's, you know, I think what's given us success in the past few years. And, you know, for them, I guess in multiple years, I've only been there for two, but, you know, just those high expectations and standards every single day that Coach Belichick puts on us just brings out the best in all of us.
What's he like to play for? And I know you have a position coach that you're locked in with, and talked to a couple of guys that won with Brady. Russ Hochstein really loved Belichick. But for you, what is it about Belichick that you enjoy?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, really his intelligence for the game. It's unbelievable. I mean, he's got a mind for the game. I mean, he reads off every statistic or fact about every single player, coach that we're going up against every single week. So, you know, it's impressive. And I've learned so much, you know, situationally about football from him in my time there, and just other little details and keys that I really learned to put into my game, and something I picked up on. And, you know, just seeing those things and recognizing that, because it can help improve your game.
Rex Burkhead, a couple more minutes with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Rex, I want to go back to the AFC Championship, and what a game. I mean, it's throwback football, right? It's cold. It's Arrowhead. It's loud. And you score the game winner in overtime. Tell me about staying ready. Because you'll play a lot of snaps on special teams. You'll play, I think the Super Bowl, I counted, you had 19 snaps, 9 touches. So, I mean, you're a major part of their efficiency. Did you know it might be your time in that overtime session?
Yeah, you never know, honestly. Like you were touching on earlier with the versatility and roles of our backs and, you know, our game plan, it changes constantly. We can go in the game with something, and the next series play, you know, it could be something completely different. So you never know when your number is going to be called, and you just have to be locked in and ready to go when it is, and just capitalize on that opportunity and do the best you can to contribute to the team.
Rex, we played in some cold games here in Nebraska. What was colder, that Kansas City game or – your senior year when we were at Iowa?
Yeah. Actually, at Iowa, it was cold.
Was it? Okay.
Yes.
That game was brutal.
My dad and brother went to that, dude. They swore they're never heading to Iowa City again after that.
I swore after that. It was the worst place imaginable.
Yeah, that game was cold. I mean, Kansas City, it's up there. But, I mean, that game in Iowa, I don't know if anyone tops that. Mm.
What have you been able to take from Brady and just in the time you've spent with him, how has he made you a better football player? And you're really good, so I'm not asking for love fest here on Tom, but just in all honesty, I mean, the guy raises everyone's level. And tell me about Gronk, because I love the personality of Gronk when he's got his own parade bus.
Tom, his greatness speaks for itself. You know, just some things I've taken from him is through his preparation every single week. I mean, it's pretty unreal how much time he puts into it, and just his overall knowledge of the game plan, the plays we're running, and, you know, stuff like that. So, and just things, you know, as far as him taking care of his body. I mean, he's 41 years old and still, you know, competing at such a high level. So, you know, I've definitely taken stuff from him. And I mean, with Gronk, I mean, he's awesome.
I noticed you guys weren't on the same bus.
We were on the same one. And, I mean, you got to be careful because people are just throwing beer cans and whatnot at him left and right. And so, yeah, he actually got cut on the eye a little bit. Someone caught him good. So, he's a blast. He's, you know, the most talented tight end I've ever seen and played with, for sure. And just the fun he has and energy he has, you know, rubs off on all of us.
I got to ask, how did Gronk doesn't drop anything, let alone a beer? How did he get caught in the eye?
Oh, man. I mean, when I say they're coming from nowhere, I mean, they're literally like 10 cans being thrown at them at a time. It was it was crazy. I've never seen anything like it. So, yeah, I stayed on the other side of the slope for the most.
How was that parade, Rex? What was that like taking that trophy back home to the place that you guys love and play for? Was that a pretty neat experience, that whole parade?
Yeah, no, it was cool, man. I mean, that was when it really hit me, honestly, that we won. You know, I'm going into the parade thinking it's like a little, you know, Thanksgiving Macy's parade or something. I've seen videos of Gronk before, but I'm thinking, like, you know, he's the only one, you know, having a good time or whatever. But, no, that thing's unbelievable. Seeing all the people out there going crazy. I mean, you got kids. I mean, there's probably more kids than adults out there all skipping school just to come out. So it was neat just to see the support. I mean, 1.5 million people down in the city of Boston. It's pretty special.
Rex, have you had a chance, and I know you've been busy with Super Bowls and playoff runs and all that. Have you had a chance to follow? Did you have a chance to follow Nebraska at all this fall at all?
I did, yeah. Whenever I get a chance, I always try to watch the games.
What's your take, man? I mean, there's some excitement, not a great start, really good finish, and lots of excitement moving forward.
Yeah, I think so. You know, really love the way the guys they played at the end of the year. And, you know, I think that's only going to set them up for this year and the years to come. You know, I love Scott Frost and just the mentality he's bringing to the program. He can already tell with guys and the way they're playing and the way that they're buying in. And I think, you know, that's tough for new coaches at times to get guys to buy into what they believe in, their values. And once that happens, I mean, that's when, you know, big changes occur. And, you know, definitely have the talent. Martinez at quarterback, I mean, that's a great person to have right there leading your team. So just looking forward to what they can do.
Switching gears a little bit on your Rex, about a week from today, you'll be back here for one of our favorite events, the Team Jack Gala. How has that been? I saw that Jack and Andy got to come to the Super Bowl with you. How has that relationship continued to grow? And talk a little bit on the gala next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so Andy and Jack, they're actually at the AFC Championship game as well. And Jack actually had a seizure at halftime and then went out to the car in the parking lot. And, you know, Jack kind of asked, or Andy asked Jack if, you know, did you just want to start going home or do you want to try to go back in? And, you know, as tough as Jack is, he's like, no, let's go back in the game. So they came back, saw the fourth quarter, saw overtime, and, you know, stuck it through. So, but it's great. It was awesome seeing them afterwards. And then they came to the Super Bowl, which is this, you know, means a ton. And, yeah, we got the gala next weekend in Lincoln. Dick Vitale speaking. So it's going to be awesome. And, you know, just excited to see the turnout. The foundation's approaching 5.5 million raised right now for pediatric brain cancer.
That's impressive, man. That's so good. And the outreach you do, Rex, is incredible. Jeremiah, what you do is incredible with the fight against pediatric brain cancer. And did you have an idea, Rex, like a big picture thought on this gala? I mean, it's been going for how many years now?
I think this is six.
Six, right? I mean, did you think it'd be going six? And you hoped, but I mean, it keeps growing every year.
Yeah, you hope, and I think you never know really how big it could get, but it's unbelievable. And you know, guys like Jeremiah as well, really helping out, bring some alumni back and other players for the gala, and just all the support we get, it's phenomenal. And to see familiar faces come back every single year, and even current players and coaches come as well. Just the amount of support still today when it started, you know, way back in 2011 when we had met is pretty unreal.
Rex Burkhead with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Chris Schmidt, Jeremiah Searles, and Colton Stone. Rex, thanks for giving us a few minutes, man. I know you're busy. I know it's downtime. Congratulations to you on your success. Thanks for what you're doing, as always, with Team Jack, and we'll get caught up down the road again. Appreciate you giving us a few.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Take care.
See you, buddy.
Early to rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranick.
One final time this hour, weekend edition, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranick. Colton Stone, 10 minutes away. Brandon Vogel, going to be with us And we'll run down the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp. Many thanks to Rex Burkhead and Jeremiah Searles. Great event with Team Jack. That gala coming up the 23rd of February and year six already.
Jeez.
$5.5 million raised through Team Jack to fight pediatric brain cancer. And pretty cool to hear Rex talk about Jack and Mr. Hoffman joining him down in Kansas City and then finding their way to the Super Bowl. And I mean, Rex is such a Patriot player, right? I mean, just fits it perfect. It was pretty cool to hear him describe how both sides knew they were right for each other.
Yep.
And then just the all the beer dodging on the Gronk party bus during the parade.
Yeah, it's difficult. But Rex has always been elusive.
Right.
So that helps. That helps. What's going to go on at Nebraska's defensive line position?
You know,
shall we wildly speculate?
We can. There's two names that we were talking about during the break.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say we, I say you and your research has been pretty good. This has my interest piqued.
Yeah.
Do we dare say Coach Cool?
I mean, we can. It's wild speculation. We don't know if this is true.
It'd be a freaking dream get, let's be honest.
Craig Kuligowski, he was at Alabama last year, coached the Outland Trophy winner, Quinnen Williams. Before that, he was at Miami. Despite Miami's problems, defensive line has not been one of them for a while. He was also at Missouri way back, late 90s, early 2000s. Mm-hmm. So
Justin Smith, Alden Smith,
yeah.
Shane Ray, I think.
Yeah, Missouri had some beasts on the D-line for
Missouri
a couple years there.
Dudes in the league.
Kuligowski is also from Toledo, coached under Saban there. But it's already announced he's leaving Alabama. He was only there for a year, which is kind of par for the course at Alabama. You typically have a 1 to 3 year stint and you move on. That's kind of how Saban's staff rolls. Roll Tide, for whatever reason. Interestingly enough, Craig Kuligowski follows Scott Frost on Twitter.
A lot of people follow Scott Frost on Twitter, Mark.
They do. But among Kuligowski's more recent follows is Bruce Arians, head coach at Tampa Bay, right? Coach Dugan from Florida State, who it appears Kuligowski used to be they used to be on the same staff at some point, perhaps, and they were like roommates on the road. Because I saw thanks Rumi on a Twitter. Mm-hmm. Anyways, this is all Twitter investigation stuff. But following Frost recently, the only head coaches that he's followed recently are Arians and Frost.
Okay.
Is there something there? Who knows? Nebraska's got an opening on the defensive line. Now, Kuligowski would have probably been here for the Outland Trophy presentation. They could have met up at the convention. Potentially something there. Big Ten regional guy.
Well, Big Ten, SEC.
Big 12.
I mean,
Big 12.
The hot area to be in is Missouri, right?
Yeah,
right now with all that talent. And you did what you did at Bama.
Yeah.
So we shall see. I don't know if Arians has rounded out his staff in Tampa yet or not. Hour 2 coming up with Hail Varsity.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, Roll Tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
It's Hour 2, Weekend Edition, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak. Colton Stone, we say hi to Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Vogues, you had the over-under at 20 runs and a half for Nebraska baseball last night. How did you know that?
Just had a feeling, you know, based on all of the practice Nebraska had put in and all of the pent-up frustration of a frustrating offseason from last year.
You're all over it. I like it, man. It's been one of those weeks where we spent time yesterday talking Nebraska basketball. You know, where are they at, really, when it comes to the bubble, when it comes to seeding, when it comes to outside looking in, national versus local perception. But let's start off with the week that has been pretty much dominated by the Maurice Washington news. And Vogues, did Wednesday night into Thursday get things cleared up for you from a timeline standpoint?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, I think there's still a couple of
of questions there, and some of which we'll probably never know the answer to. But, you know, the additional statement from the university, I think, kind of laid out as much as they were willing to share about that, and it did clear up the picture for me somewhat. So, you know, we know now that the charges are there, the warrant's been signed, and Maurice is going to have to go and do that. And at some point, I think, based on what I assume will happen with this, I think there's going to be a choice to make for Nebraska, which is unfortunate, but it's kind of where you are.
Brandon Vogel with us on Hail Varsity Radio. So what you're saying is Maurice is going back to Cali? Is that what he's doing? I was just wondering.
That was not me.
Is that? Can you confirm? Is that?
Can confirm.
Okay. No, actually, just real quick question. So what's going to happen with Maurice Washington in the running back room? Who is Scott Frost going to hire as a defensive line coach? And what's going to happen with Tim Miles and the basketball team? Just real quick.
Yeah, real quick. Maurice is probably going to serve a suspension, but we'll remain a Husker. The running back room is going to need somebody to step up, and they're probably going to need that anyway, given the use of the room. Nebraska basketball is going to win a couple games down the stretch, but miss out on the tournament still.
You forgot the other part of the question. Who's Nebraska hiring as a defensive line coach?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
That one I don't have an answer for. My feeling coming in was, you know, based on sort of how tight this staff has been, that it would be someone with a previous connection to this group at some previous stop, but I just don't know how many of those candidates there are out there. So you might be in a situation where, for the first time really since Frost has become a head coach, you have to go out into the open market. But you might also have the clout with being at Nebraska now to really swing for the fences. So I've had a tough time even coming up with a list of, yeah, here's some names. So that will be interesting.
Well, Kranak came up with a name here towards the 8 o'clock hour that I want to kind of get your thoughts on, because you also know the Alabama program. You know college football. And Coach Kuligowski, Craig Kuligowski, the defensive line coach at Alabama that's no longer at Alabama, was hired away from the U, right? So he spent a year at Alabama, was at Miami before that, was at Missouri when Missouri was 0-1 to, and, you know, I don't know when he left Missouri, but he's an Akron guy, so he played ball at Akron and knows the MAC and Big Ten footprint. So you want to look at like dream scenario, Vogel, with having a connection to Florida, coaching at Miami, having a connection to SEC country, coaching in Alabama.
Just coached the Outland winner, follows Frost on Twitter recently.
And knows the Big 12 with the kind of Justin Smith, Alden Smith era. You know how good Missouri had run-wise from the early to mid-2000s with guys that can get after a quarterback that did it in college and did it better in the NFL. I mean, that name screams yes, doesn't it?
Oh, I think so from a pure football coaching standpoint. And then you add in, you know, some of his familiarity with the Midwest. That's probably one of the bigger names out there. You know, USC's former defensive line coach has also had some interesting follows in the recent days. You know, it's kind of the USC situation was interesting in that Helton kind of had to make some changes. I'm a little bit surprised that was one of them. But he really fits sort of the young, strong recruiter mold of this staff. And, you know, and connecting the dots here, this is pure just guessing on my part. You know, I also wonder if Ron Aiken, former Oregon defensive line coach, who was there when Frost was there for a little bit, currently coaching in the AAF, could be an option as well. He was at Iowa for a long time, assistant coach of the year. He had 52 or around there. That's the part that doesn't fit. But it's also possible that, you know, he and Frost didn't get along at all. All I know is that they worked together kind of in that boat, looking for those kind of connections. So I think those three names are at least a starting point for sure.
Kenechi Udeze, by the way, interesting Twitter follow, as Brandon alluded to, follows Barrett Rood. Mm. Not sure if they cross paths in the NFL. Certainly possible. It'll be interesting. How big of a loss is that, by the way, with Dawson leaving and kind of breaking this continuity string that Frost had?
I think it's impactful for that reason alone. You know, like we were talking about, they haven't been in this situation yet. They'll be fine. Like, I don't think it's dire circumstances at all, but Dawson seemed to be really well liked by his players. You know, he was instrumental, as Frost noted, after the early signing period, getting Ty Robinson here. And it was kind of viewed as something of a technician, which, you know, it's no surprise why he's back in the NFL at this point. So I think it's an impactful loss. We'll see what they're able to do with the hire, but based on how successful that group was as an entire staff, you know, for a first-time head coach putting together his first football staff, I'm pretty confident in Nebraska's ability to get what they need and make a pretty strong hire. So we'll see what the differences are in terms of details, because there will certainly be some of those.
Got a little bit more bio here on Kulagowski with Toledo as a recruiting coordinator in 92. Tight ends coach, 93 through 95. D-line coach, 96 through 2000. At Missouri from 01 to 2015. At the U from 2016 through 17. Bama last year. And there's lots of examples of Kulagowski taking two-star prospects and coaching them up to either first-round material or all-conference material, 24 players to all-conference honors in the SEC, 5 first-round draft picks, including 4 since 09. So that's impressive. It's one thing to, like, coach first-round draft picks at Miami or Alabama, but he did a lot of legwork and got noticed for his work at Missouri by Mark Richt in Miami.
And now, I remember recently on Hail Varsity, Brandon, I believe it was Jacob, that had a whole best Twitter handles, you know, and kind of rated all them. And, of course, Demorne Pearsonell was number one because it was Don't Punt, you know, just great Twitter handle. Coach Cools is Let's Meet at the QB. That's pretty good. Have you seen better?
No, certainly not from an assistant football coach, I don't think. You know, the thing that strikes me about Kulagowski, too, is he seems like a kind of hardcore old school football guy. And I think that meshes pretty well with his staff. Like, when I think about them going out trying to fill a position, I think you got to be kind of forward thinking as it pertains to football with a little bit of the old school edge. And that's very much the category I'd put Kulagowski in.
Yep. So I don't know if this is what we should do, but just, I sort of liken Maurice Washington's situation to Demorne Pearsonell coming off of injury or Trey Bryant coming off of injury, where it's just prudent to not count on them for the coming year, right? If it happens, great. And if they can contribute, fantastic. But don't count on it. So, like, assuming there's something that happens there or the trial goes on and the headlines are crazy and he gets suspended or whatever. Who knows? Hopefully it doesn't happen for him. But if that's the case, what do you think the running back room all of a sudden looks like? Because, I mean, that guy was – he wasn't penciled in. You know, that was pin. That was permanent marker. Maurice is going to definitely get snaps. Now you got a whole roster full of guys that just hasn't taken any for Nebraska.
Yeah. I think – you think about it right away in the spring. If that were to be the case, you've got Jalen Bradley and Wyatt Bazur. Ultimately, I think what happens is you see a lot more Wandale Robinson and Miles Jones in that room. And, you know, maybe the plan all along was they were going to be pretty heavy in there anyway. I think that was certainly the case with Wandale. But if you go forward, assuming Washington may not be available this year or years beyond that, That's probably what it looks like in the immediate future, because, you know, even they've got three guys that are really talented coming in. None of them are here yet. One of them's coming back from a pretty significant knee injury. So the running back room gets pretty dicey quickly. I came into, before any of this news broke, you know, I wondered about sort of who was going to take charge of that room, who was going to be the lead by example type of guy. And it's tough to come up with, because you just don't have a lot of veteran players there. You definitely won't without the most experienced running back you had, who only had, you know, 10 or 11 games of actual experience. So it gets pretty interesting for Nebraska.
Vogues, let's stay in the running back room here, and just the importance of getting kids, and I know they'll be asked to do a lot. You've got Jones and Robinson that you touched on. Jones has been here. Robinson's coming in. But Ramir Johnson, what he can do, what he'll need to do, regardless if Maurice Washington's here or not, playing or not, and the same with Mills, getting him eligible. I mean, Coach Held did a really fabulous job of getting a couple of backs, not just Robinson, but I'm talking Ramir and Mills. I mean, you have good options. You just haven't anything on paper or on film yet as far as playing in the Big Ten. But Nebraska does, look, they do have some options, and you can have guys play early at the running back spot, can't you?
Yeah, you absolutely can, particularly with what we've seen from this staff and this offense in the past. Like, that's not been a barrier to getting on the field if the talent level is there. And I think it is with really all three guys they brought in. You know, Tompkins, before his injury, was poised to be, you know, well, who knows, but he looked the part. He looked the part of guy that is going to get offers from most of the SEC. And we'll see how he bounces back from that. Ramir Johnson, also super talented. You know, the story of him growing up in New York City and making the, you know, lengthy commute out to Bergen Catholic to kind of better his situation and be able to play for a football powerhouse, yes, told me a lot about him. It may sound easy to get on a train and commute a couple hours each day, but it's a pretty clear sign of commitment to me on his point. And then you start looking at Mills' numbers from Georgia Tech. Granted, it was a triple option offense, but pretty impressive. He was definitely a workhorse back the year that he was there. So I think there are good options here. You're just not going to get him into the program and sort of going until the summer, which, you know, Maurice Washington did everything he did with even less time than that. So it's not an unsurmountable barrier, but it's just probably not ideal for talking about Nebraska's running game here in the spring.
Talking with Brandon Vogel on Hail Varsity Radio. Tim Miles, Nebraska ball, kind of they pulled the win out, I think, sort of against all odds. What do you think's left in the tank for them, though? Is there a scenario in which you can see Miles and crew stay intact, I guess, after the year, and that they can make a legitimate run here?
Yeah, I mean, if who knows what's going on behind the scenes? Like, I think it's close enough to a we got to make a call here scenario. Well, it is just based on the remaining years left on Miles' contract that Bill News has probably put out feelers and had some conversations to gauge interest in the job at the very least. And depending on what you find out there, that could influence that decision. You know, if you've got a guy in mind or a couple of guys and they don't want it, you know, I could see retaining Coach Miles and trying to go again. The problem with that is, you know, you're not going to do it on another one-year extension, I don't think. You're going to have to make some sort of commitment. And then you got to think about, well, is that what the fan base wants? Like, is there going to be resistance to that? So it gets pretty complicated. I think the only sure way to get there is for Nebraska to make the tournament. And that really starts with these next two games. Like, how tightly knit is this group? They've got an opportunity here in these next two. You put together a little three-game winning streak, and then you're going into some really tough games, but games that give you an opportunity to kind of climb back in it. So unlikely that that's the scenario, but it is in front of them. So we'll see.
It would not look good if you can't get a yes as a basketball program to the three names that folks are clamoring for, okay? And you're Miles is stuck with you and you're stuck with Miles. I wouldn't be surprised if Coach Miles looks elsewhere, man, if I'm not wanted or appreciated here. You know, you mentioned feelers. You got to have feelers out if you're an AD and there's a possibility of making a change. Miles likely has feelers out as well, and I don't know that he'd land in a Power 5 gig, but he did really well in the Group of 5 stuff. I mean, he could go back to a good conference that isn't the Big Ten.
Oh, he absolutely could. He'd probably be even better, you know, at a Colorado State-like place, mm-hmm. You know, given the kind of Power 5 clout that he has now that he didn't have then. And, you know, he's just he's a well-connected guy in the basketball community. The media, particularly the national media, you know, loves him because he's easygoing and a great quote. So being able to bring that, you know, to a place, you know, you see it all the time. San Diego State recently, Houston now. Mm-hmm. You know, not saying they're going to go that high, but you have that. You have that ability to kind of get players. You're just changing address. So that could be a really good move for him if that ends up what being what happens.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Vogues, before we say goodbye, tell me about the new issue of Hail Varsity Magazine.
Yeah, so with signing day, we had to adjust just like the rest of college football. We took care of the early enrollees in January and used this issue to focus on the remaining two Nebraska guys that we didn't get to. So Greg Smith has a story in there on Garrett Snodgrass. Jacob Padilla touched base with Ethan Piper. So some good stuff there. And then there's also a Nebraska baseball preview, courtesy of Mike Babcock. If you want to read about Nebraska baseball, Mike's the guy, in my opinion. And he also predicted 21 runs in the first game. It's in there. Look it up.
Love it. Vogues, you have a great weekend. And before we say goodbye, you are off to see the Salt Lake Huskers this weekend.
Yep. Salt Lake Huskers versus the Alabama Auburn Iron down in Birmingham. It's a wonderful new league, the Association of American Football. So see what that's all about. I kind of enjoyed the first weekend.
Yep. It'll be good. And you'll bump into some folks who know you and you know them that played for Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
DeMornay and Kenny and
DP
Newby.
Had some drops, man.
He had a tough opening night.
Newby didn't play much. Banderas played a little. He was backup, got a tackle. And then got who's the other
Kenny.
One? Yeah, Kenny, of course. Got targeted, but I don't think he got any catches. Yeah. And then Alonzo Moore, 3 catches for San Antonio.
I love Zoe. He's a fabulous player. Vogues, have a good trip down to Birmingham, man. Thanks for a few minutes today.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
There he is. Follow Brandon on Twitter at Brandon L. Vogel. Get his book with a legend, John Cook, Dream Like a Champion.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you whiffed on Valentine's Day. That's okay. You can get a subscription to Hail Varsity and get Dream Like a Champion with John Cook and Brandon Vogel. How about every girl and that dream she has, a 1-carat diamond? And Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman offering a spectacular 1-carat diamond solitaire. Just $100 a month. That's less than the price of a cup of coffee per day to show her how much she means to you. Maybe it's the first string. Maybe it's time to upgrade. But make it happen now with Sauter Heyman and that 1-carat diamond solitaire special, just $100 a month. 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, Route West in Grand Island. Log on, sauterheyman.com. A timeout, and then we'll get caught up. The Iron Horse, Gary Sharp, Sportscaster of the Year, next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. You're going to bring us 2 absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us 2 more. Then 2 more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out. Excellent strategy, sir.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, weekend edition, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Colton Stone. Sportscaster of the Year, Iron Horse, the call heard around Nebraska with UNO's incredible finish against South Dakota State. Gary Sharp is with us. Sharpie, how are you, man?
Good morning, gentlemen. How about this peak offseason that we've just had for the last week?
What the hell's going
right,
on, man?
Everything's crumbled down of news, right? I mean, coach, you have a star player, basketball, baseball's underway. I mean, it's we were thinking, all right, let's talk bubble watch, and Husker baseball gets rolling, and things got kicked off the wrong way Monday, first with Dawson leaving, and then, of course, the Maurice Washington saga that goes on. So let's start there, Gary. And how have you approached this week, or I guess sifted through this week of the Washington news?
Well, first and foremost, I'm always a big believer is you get out in front of things and you control the narrative, and people that are involved, make sure there's communication so that everybody's on the same page and that everybody understands what's going on before you make anything public, where fans, media, anybody can sort through things and try and find inconsistencies and continue to ask questions. And I think we were in about a three-day stretch where when something was said either by authorities in California or somebody here in Nebraska, there were more questions until the other day when John Bruning, who all of a sudden became a player in this story, when the story is more about Mo Washington and the young female, is he cleared up some things. But I think it's at the end of the day, when it comes to that side, is there were probably some confusion on either what the charges were or what they were going to be, and also how much information was given to John Bruning initially. I think at the end of the day, Mo Washington's current attorney should have been his attorney from the start. But I think there was just some unknowns when all this came up in the fall, and maybe there wasn't a lot of information shared. And if I'm investigating somebody and I ask to contact somebody who is involved in the case, I'm probably not going to give you a lot of information. So I think there were a lot of holes that kind of got cleared up. But I've always been, and the initial reaction was, well, this is true, Mo Washington's got to go. Mm-hmm. I always give it the 72-hour rule to sit, to let things play out. And I don't think in this case speculation does anybody any good to try and come up with what should happen to Mo Washington, what actually happened. I think it's time now for the legal system to run its course, but also for Maurice Washington to receive his rights, the victim to receive her rights, and then move forward. But that was an ugly stretch of about 3 days. And I think in these cases, and here in Omaha, the Omaha World Herald did a lot of digging. And in this day and age when newspapers are struggling, I think when you have stories like this, you will see more newspapers and more media sources. They will dig deeper to find the answer. So you've got to be on the same page when you release the statement initially and start to let information out to the press.
Gary, is it worth monitoring what's happening administratively at Nebraska? When you look at the Bill Moose situation with the drinking allegations, that goes all the way up to the chancellor, embarrassment for the university. This one, different, but similarly, seemingly somewhat bungled and embarrassing for the university. Is that something worth watching here? Those things have happened in really close together. Is there smoke there?
Well, I think there's going to be a fall person for what has happened over this past week with this situation. I think at the end of the day, maybe not in the near future, but somewhere someone will take the fall for what happened. But this is something that seems to plague the University of Nebraska, is they don't stay out in front of things. They're more reactionary. And in this case, you react a little bit because it's released by people in California, what the case is, you know, the media, the NBC affiliate out there. But I think when you put out a statement and everybody gets together, it's got to be one statement. Because, guys, we were having four or five statements in the first 2 days, and anybody that has covered news knows that that's not the right way to go. But it's something to watch. You know, it was a strange week, and it's really been about a strange 3 week period when it comes to things in the athletic department. You know, you have a couple of incidents off the field with players, minor or not. You say, everybody, just get it together. What are we doing here? Because this is a bad look for Nebraska. And there's misinformation out there, and there's probably some information that's correct. But people need to get on the same page, and everybody needs to start acting accordingly for the one goal that everybody has been talking about, because you're going to want to move past this week pretty quickly.
Gary Sharp's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Sharpie, what do you believe with Nebraska basketball? Do you believe the national perception and crop report that many places have Nebraska in locally? It's hard to, with a straight face, say, yeah, Nebraska's in the tournament. Where are you at right now with where Nebraska's at, and what do you look at the Minnesota win being? Is it just isolated, or is it something that may be that kickstart to make these final six something to think about?
Well, the Minnesota game was for Tim Miles, his staff, and his players to just go, got that out of the way. But if you want to think about things and how now you've got a victory, you wake up the next morning and you're celebrating a victory, you're preparing for Northwestern tonight, coming off a victory. If by chance you win tonight, and then you go to State College and you beat Penn State, you've now won three games in a row. You now have four games ahead of you, which is a prime opportunity because of who you play. And remember, Nebraska didn't have those opportunities to get those kind of victories last year when they had, you know, when they were close to the tournament bubble. I think if you go at the finish 4-2, you're in consideration still for the NCAA tournament. But it's just one win. Nebraska's got to start to string them together. But you never know what that one win might do. Does some guys snap back to where we saw them maybe back in December? But enjoy Minnesota. But don't let Minnesota ride through a stale performance against Northwestern. And I don't think so. I think Nebraska get through Northwestern tonight, and then it's a tricky game on the road at Penn State where they're very competitive. They don't get blown out, and they just beat Michigan. But if they get past the next two, then I think you can start to do a little bit of math and hope once again.
Regarding Tim Miles and the Nebraska fan base, I mean, it would be weird, right? It'd be weird of this program. It'd be perfectly Nebraska basketball, but somehow, some way, they find a way to get in. So does the fan base go 180 and say, oh, he's our guy. Look what he did. He lost one of his best players. They looked dead in the water. They rallied. They found a way. They got in. I mean, can you forget this noise if you're Tim Miles? If you somehow, oh, now you love me. I mean, can you forget what's been out there the last 7 of 8 games?
No. I think if you are somebody that has your mind made up on Tim Miles, it's not changing the rest of the year. I think you are rooting for the program more than an individual, and you're probably looking at it going, 7 years and it is enough. Even if they make the tournament this year, 7 years is enough. So I don't think anything changes in the next couple of weeks. If you liked him, you've always liked him. If you don't like him, you don't like him, and nothing's going to change. You just hope for the program as a whole that wears the red end, that they can turn things around, get on a run, and somehow get back into consideration for the tournament and then play themselves in.
Gary Sharp with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Gary, let's wildly speculate about defensive line coach in that position. You were at the Outland ceremony this year, correct?
Yes.
Was Craig Kuligowski there with Quinnen Williams, the Outland winner? Do you know?
He was, I don't believe. I think it was a non-football staffer that was with him.
Okay. He is following Scott Frost on Twitter recently. Come on, it's wild speculation time. He's also following Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians' staff is filled. Mm-hmm. Kuligowski, 1 year at Alabama. Before that was at the U. Before that was at Missouri.
Great success at Missouri.
He's had great success everywhere he's been. He's had a ton of really high draft picks and Outland Trophy winners.
And he developed kids.
Yeah, good player. Is there something there? And if not him, there's also Kenechi Udezi, who's following Barrett Rood recently. Where are you at now, on defensive line? Are those two big realistic names? Do you have others?
Now, the last one you mentioned, I brought up the other day because Nebraska, including Mike Donaldson, went head-to-head with him when he was at USC in recruiting of Ty Robinson. So he's a guy that knows the West Coast, know some of the targets and victories that Nebraska had in recruiting. He was not retained by Clay Helton. He's a guy I brought up immediately because he's a fantastic recruiter and a very good defensive line coach. I think, and this is a question for you guys, because this is something that we debated on my show this week. If you look at where Mike Dawson was, and remember, you're going up to a fourth defensive line coach in 5 years, so some of the older guys in that room, it's a revolving door. Do you need a teacher, a relationship builder, or a recruiter? Because one thing Mike Dawson really did well was, at the beginning, build relationships. Then the next was, he turned into a pretty good recruiter here in the last year. So if you're looking for that person on the staff and you look at the makeup of that room where you've got some older high-end guys and then some young guys that are your future, do you want teacher, relationship builder, or recruiter? I think in this case, I think it's important in that room to find somebody that can continue that relationship, that strong bond between defensive lineman and coach, because I think there's enough talent there that you're not going to immediately need to come in and go, hey, I'm a teacher, we got to do this, this, and this.
Great. You know what? That's a great question, Sharpie. And I think for the here and now, I think you're right about the relationship.
It's basically developer versus recruiter.
Right. Give me a teacher and give me a guy that can – the talent's there. The cupboard's full, right? You got some good dudes in to play D-line. All right, get them ready. Get them coached up. Get them fine-tuned to be beasts on that line of scrimmage, okay? That's what you need here and now. And if you're looking present day versus down the road – I think you're right. I think you go with the teacher versus the recruiter, but you go get
both
a
recruiter. Would be great.
Both's the answer. All right, give me A and B. But I think you do get somebody in there that can connect with the guys, because you saw on social media the guys that are in that room. I mean, they loved their time with Dawson. I mean, you've had 1,000 defensive line coaches through here the last few years, and there's not been much of a peep about many of them, right? You do have an outpouring of support and thank yous by this current defensive line room for Dawson. So I think you're right. I think you go with a teacher / developer to kind of continue to form some of those relationships and stabilize. Because I think there's some guys in that room that they'll play hard and they'll be okay, but they really like Dawson and they wish he was still here.
I think it's a position that, you know, it's an intriguing position because you're at Nebraska, you're in the Big Ten, you're on Scott Frost's staff, and if you study who you would be coaching, I think you get encouraged by that. I think Scott will have to – he'll have a short list of candidates, but also somebody who is a fit not only with his players he's coaching, but as you can see, he's got to be a fit with the whole coaching staff, because he would be the first person coming in that hasn't been with that staff in two stops in multiple years, and you'd have to find somebody that could hit the ground running and fit in right away. But, Krennic, I'm impressed. That's some great sleuth right there.
Hey.
I'm going on Twitter to find followers and who's following who.
Well, hey, I'm just saying. Well, and I think you have to consider age diversity in some ways here, too.
I agree. That's
right?
A great point.
Yeah, I mean, especially you look at the defensive staff makeup. Outside of Dawson, you would classify everybody on that staff, Fisher, DeWitt, Chenander, Rude, as younger guys, right? On the staff overall, you have two older guys right now. You have Becton, you have Verduzco. Everybody else is kind of young pups for the most part, relative to the coaching profession. You get a guy like Kulikowski, he's, you know, similar. He's probably late 40s, early 50s, mid 50s around there. Kids are out of the house, all that stuff. You know what I mean. It just feels like that veteran presence.
The stability too. If you look at Coach Kuhl.
Thank you. Okay, it's a great point. We were talking about this.
He spent 15 years at Missouri, and then he job hopped Miami, and then Bama. Is it time to settle down? And is there a better, more stable staff than Nebraska right now?
Thank you. Yeah. Important question, Gary. It's weird to say considering Nebraska's recent past. Nebraska is, if you want to just set up shop and know you have a job for a few years, is there a better situation than Nebraska in the country, period?
That's a good point. I don't think so. But, you know, you also have to find somebody that is comfortable coaching in that kind of defense as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that plays a factor, that understands that defense, and maybe also understands that hey, you're walking into a place where offense rules, but we know we have to be good on defense. But how comfortable you are coaching defensive linemen in a 3-4, for example. I think there's a bunch of different factors, but they're all. I like where you guys are going. I think that'll be something also, you know, Scott considers. But boy, could Nick Saban at the last minute before spring football lose another assistant? I don't think Nebraska then would be on the the nice Saint Mary on their Christmas card list.
Now, here's the other thing though, Gary. Some more super sleuthing. Already, Kuligowski already announced he's out. He's not going to be at Alabama. That's recent. Not sure exactly why, but I think it just has to do with having to move around Tosh. And
Bama's done some restructuring after the Clemson beating.
Yeah,
they announced 7 assistants yesterday. That's correct.
Yeah, and they obviously can lose an assistant coach who just coached the Outland Trophy winner. No big deal. It's Alabama. They don't care.
You go to your Masters of Football graduate studies with Saban, and then you move on so you can see sunlight.
I know. You basically have an internship with them for 1 to 3 years, and then you move on.
I do know one. He definitely, when he was at Missouri, look at the run when Missouri first joined the SEC, and they were going to Atlanta to play. What was one of the biggest things they had is they had some stout defensive linemen who not only did work in Columbia but are now playing in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Sharpie, you're right. I mean, you look at Shane Ray.
Yeah, Sheldon Richardson.
Michael Sam. You have, who's the dude for San Francisco that kind of lost his mind? Alden Smith.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Justin Smith. I mean, we're going all the way back to 01. So, and you know this, Sharpie. I mean, Missouri's been a point of emphasis. St. Louis has been a point of emphasis for Nebraska to get in the recruiting, right? I mean, you would think there's still plenty of ties down in the Show Me State for this guy.
Well, and if he's on your staff and he has a list of guys that are in the league, I think that's attractive as well, because you can sell that. Hey, this guy coached X, Y, and Z. Turn on your TV on Sunday, and you'll see that he has a special relationship with his position coach from back in college. And I think you kind of that's where Nebraska would like to go. Is they have a lot of NFL influence where multiple guys are going to the combine, multiple guys are getting drafted, they're coming back to campus, and there's a lot of NFL people that are hanging around Nebraska looking at their current talent. Because, trust me, after hearing certain players speak this year, they know when NFL scouts are in the building watching them practice or work out, and that makes a big deal to when they talk to other recruits or they talk to other people who say, yeah, Broncos, Chiefs, Seahawks, they were all here at our practice, and they watching.
24 draft picks since 09.
Jeez. Yeah. Hey, you bring up something. You brought up something interesting too about Nebraska maybe being appealing to a defensive line coach, just because you come in and you got a roster stock full of, you have a lot of unproven guys, but you have some proven guys. You have a lot of clay here, a lot of bodies, yep. Pretty highly recruited guys. And if you look across all the position groups, of course we'll get heavier into this as spring develops. You've kind of got that situation at most positions. Exception being outside and middle linebacker, right? Is that kind of how you see it? Like, if you look across Nebraska's roster, all the position groups, you're pretty well stocked with options, maybe except for those two spots. Is that how you see it too?
I would agree. And I think another part of, if you're new to Nebraska and you're coaching the defensive line, I would put two guys in front of you on tape and say, where do you see their ceiling? Where can you take them? Actually, I'll give you four. DeAndre Thomas, Damian Daniels, and then Tate Wildeman and Casey Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
New defensive line coach. Go. Where do you see these four guys going? What's their ceiling? What's their next step? And then for your bonus question, I would say, for us to have success this year, new coach on Nebraska's staff, we need these twins called the Davises to be more consistent and take the next step. What can you do for them?
Great questions. I mean, you've got players there. What can they maximize being? Gary Sharp, Sportscaster of the Year, Hail Varsity Radio. And Sharpie, it was fun, man. Thanks so much for jumping on and speculating with us. So,
hey, thanks, guys. Have a great day.
You too. There he is, Gary Sharp, Hail Varsity Radio. Quick timeout, and we'll close out a weekend next.
with Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
One final time, weekend edition, Hail Varsity Radio, Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Colton Stone. We have 1 minute.
I want to be helpful.
You're being helpful. What are your ideas to help?
I was wondering maybe like introduce Frost and Kuligowski on Twitter if they don't know each other.
Okay.
So like an FYI.
Any Zillow thoughts?
Yeah, just send them like, just do a little pre-search for them. Pick a good Lincoln area code. Maybe up at, what do you call the place over at the Falling Water, not Falling Waters, what is it called?
Fallbrook?
Yeah. Maybe just tweet him.
Well, I think Marcus Schmidt, new realtor out of Omaha, has connections in Lincoln.
You. Look at you, crony. Come on.
No, I mean.
are you trying to get a kickback?
Not at all.
I'm trying to get a Kuligowski kickback?
I'm trying to take us to brunch is what I'm trying to do.
Coach Cool kickback is what you're looking for. Yeah, we could. I mean, that would be helpful. He might need a realtor.
Uncle Mark Schmidt.
Does he know which neighborhoods to move into? No. Does he know that Fallbrook is really unique and that it doesn't
There's
have a lot of driveways?
There's a crazy nurse that lives on Whitefish. Stay away from her.
Wide parkways?
We'll talk to you on Monday. Thanks.